Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is one of an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Over the past 10 years, Richmond's cultural art scene has been quietly growing, attracting numerous talented artists with national and international reputations. Twice a month, on the first and third Mondays, I will sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these artists. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today we're having lunch with Sally Bowring. Sally, welcome to Zero Hour, and thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi's a good start. Sally, I notice you have the same last name as I do.
Just a coincidence.
Do you think we're related?
Maybe.
Yes, didn't you just come across someone on the internet whose name was Sally Reese, the
yes.
same as your maiden name, and you sent them an email saying, do you think we're related? And they didn't answer, did they, Sally?
No. Should I not answer?
I don't know. Well, anyway, Sally has been kind enough to agree to this because, like it was mentioned in the beginning of this, Richmond's attracted a number of artists with national and international reputations. And for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, Sally is also my wife, which means she has a national and international reputation being associated with me and this radio show. So the two listeners we have in Richmond and the one in Rwanda, which, by the way, if you look in the New York Times section of the Sunday New York Times section this week, you'll see a 7-page ad for Rwanda. Home of butchery and mayhem, is now apparently turned into a tourist attraction. So anyway, okay, so we're not here to talk about Rwanda, believe it or not. We are here to talk about public art.
Public art?
Yes.
Oh, is that what we're
yes,
going to talk
yes,
about?
We're going to talk about public art, which I know almost nothing about other than watching my wife be a public artist. So you refer to yourself as a public artist?
No, I'm not a public artist. I'm a public art coordinator.
And what exactly is that?
Well, Richmond is had the foresight in the late 1900s. Somewhere around the late 1980s, actually, to look into having 1% for art for the city of Richmond.
1% for art?
1% for art.
Doesn't sound like
much. Well, it is a lot because it comes out of a capital improvement budget of the city's budget.
The city of Richmond.
City of Richmond, yes.
Okay.
At the time, Bob, our past city manager, and Charles Peters, who was at the time director of community development, had the foresight and the desire to create a 1% for art program for the city of Richmond, acknowledging the fact that the city of Richmond has great artists here.
Well, where does this 1% come from?
The 1% comes from the CPI, CIP budget, sorry, mm-hmm. capital improvement budget. I never understand what the P stands for, but
right.
it's a capital improvement budget.
Must be part of improvement.
Right, and every city has one, and we have an ordinance in the city that states that anything of over $250,000 that is not part of infrastructure that can be seen in the public has to be site-specific, can designate 1% of that budget for art. So it would have to be a firehouse or the ambulance authority over on Hermitage Road had 1%. The new police station downtown had 1%, and that's how we got that great police head coming out of the...
So 1% of the new police station, 1% of their overall budget to renovate that building went into
public art. Yes.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you want to get into this right now, so just tell me if you don't want to, and we'll whisper so they can't hear us. is this still going on?
Well, dear, It may be stalled at this moment, and we may not be able to get into it, mainly because I don't have all the information. But at this point, my contract, after 5 years, was not renewed.
Your contract as a what?
As a public art coordinator for the city of Richmond.
Taking a contract.
No. I mean, you know, you can go to New York and get one. And one of the cheapest things you can buy, actually, is a contract on someone. But no, this is a contract. This is a contract for me that the city had given me annually for the past 5 years to be their public art coordinator. The Public Art Commission, which is part of the Planning Commission for the City of Richmond. The Planning Commission is where is like the terminal place for the process of going through for public art, which means that I never went before City Council to have a final okay for any of the public art projects we've done. I had to go to the Planning Commission to get their final okay. And the Public Art Commission was a tangent of the Planning Commission, and it was housed in community development. I'm putting everything in the past tense, mainly because at this point, everything is on hold.
Well, you... I'm confused.
Okay. What can I... How can I help here?
This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM, Indie Radio, radio for the rest of us. I'm confused because you said it was a piece of legislation that had designated 1% of a capital budget, for improvements of buildings, or the building of buildings in the city government. Is that correct?
Yes, and there have been some years. 1%
of that is supposed to be designated to buying art.
Or having it commissioned.
Or having it commissioned. And now that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, there are some years that there's nothing in the budget. Because it is site-specific, it's not 1% of the entire budget.
Right.
Okay? There are different projects in the capital improvement budget that would be appropriate for public art. There are lots of things that happen in the CIB budget that would be completely inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And the way the ordinance got written way back when is that it became it was a site-specific, based in a site-specific project, you know, one by one.
All right. So along comes Wilder, and now all that's on hold.
Seems to be.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into something a little more fun. Let's talk about some of the things that did happen, some of the pieces of art that have taken place that you feel excited about. And let's talk a little bit, because I think there are probably a fair number of people listening who, for instance, when they see that huge metallic police head on the side of the building, and then they hear it, how much did it cost?
That was $140,000. I think so.
You know, this is not a culture without its fair share of Philistines. I think there's a fair number of people who would look at that and say, "You have got to be kidding!" You know, this city dropped $145,000 on something that in some ways looks like the mummied policeman. Tell me about that. What's that about? Why is this important? Who cares? Why is this important?
Great cities have great art. And I'm not sure that public art is ever great art to begin with. And I know that sounds strange coming from a public art coordinator. Let me back up. Let me say it's difficult to have great art. Monument Avenue has some really... Monument Avenue is a stunning avenue, not because of the gardens on either side, but because of the monuments. When I go back to great cities, a city like Rome, a city like New York, a city like Chicago has great art in the public. And I think Americans have always been felt dubious about art anyhow, public or otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very important personally, and I've dedicated the past over 20 years to putting art in public places, to making art as democratic as possible.
Why is it important?
Because somehow I think that sometimes art only becomes an elitist activity. And I think that art is really enriching. I think it makes the city, gives the city an identity. For economic development reasons, it can be a location, a reason for someone to go there. When we took a vacation, we went to the Dia Foundation up on the Hudson. And we went to Tanglewood. We went to places because of these art things, mm-hmm. not because we wanted to go to North Adams, Massachusetts. We went to see Massmoka. Yeah, we went up on the Hudson to see the Deer Foundation. We just didn't go to this place, somewhere up on the Hudson, the Beacon, New York.
So you think people come to Richmond to see the police head?
I think that eventually people could do that.
Really?
I think that Richmond is an extraordinary visual arts town. It's not. It's better. I'm going to make all kinds of wild statements at this point. I think that the visual arts in this town is so much more important than Philadelphia or lots of other places in the Midwest. I mean, for a very small town per capita, it is an extraordinary place with so much talent. Yes, it's VCU. Yes, it's the museum. And this is, it's strengthened. A while ago, I was asked to be on PBS, a local station, to talk about the state of the arts and who's the healthiest in the city. Is it really the visual arts are really in great shape? I mean, people are expanding, the VCU's expanding, the museum's expanding.
So you put public art in the same realm as visual art?
Oh, absolutely. It is visual art. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely visual. Going back to the police head, I think anytime you put anything in the public, and anyone can like it or not like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's part of the interesting dialogue. People don't have to, everyone doesn't have to like it. You hope that public art has a responsibility for not offending people. I mean, not offending their religion, not offending their morals, whatever that may be. I think public art comes with that responsibility. But I think that
okay, well, I mean, all right, so I'm still playing devil's advocate here. So the policeman's head
creates an identity for that building. Mm-hmm. People can say, "Let's meet under the head of on near Grace," and it also creates. I mean, that whole building is great. It looks like Gotham City. I mean, that's a police headquarters, and it really is decked out. And now it has this other piece of identity mm-hmm. that it lends itself to downtown Richmond.
Okay. What other pieces of what about the piece down by the train station?
Skyrider.
Describe that because I think probably a lot of people have never seen it. Some people have seen it and have completely dismissed it, and obviously some people have seen it and think it's probably pretty amazing. But talk about that.
I think it's an amazing piece just to have such a great contemporary piece of art in Richmond.
And where exactly is it?
It is directly across the street from the Main Street Station on 15th Street in Maine.
The highway.
Under the highway. Suspended from the highway. I have looked. I really have done some research, and I hope someone maybe he'd listen to this and will call in and will tell me that, oh, by the way, there is another suspended piece, but I have not been able to find another suspended piece so far in the United States. Having it suspended from I-95 was a miracle. I mean, we dealt with the RMA, we dealt with VDOT, we dealt with the, there's a little lady that owns a corner of the property underneath the whole section. It's called the Spaghetti Works, which is down there.
Right.
We had artists come in. We had six different finalists. We had very good artists apply for it. Red Grooms was one of our finalists. Sam Gilliam was one of our finalists. Sam Gilliam came down from Washington.
So literally people with national and international reputations.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The piece was $250,000. And believe me, it doesn't go to the artist's pocket. I mean, if John Newman made under $10,000 on that piece.
John Newman being the artist who did this piece.
Yes, Skyrider. Now, what has become problematic about that piece is that the landscaping has been held up for 3 years.
Why?
For a million different reasons, and I don't even know half of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the last conversation I had with Jeannie Welliver, who's the city architect, great woman who I've been working with for years and is really one of the main reasons that, you know, we have gotten this piece installed. It was had something now to do with national security. We had to worry about national security because it's a train station, and so. But when this area, this land underneath, will be landscaped, it will be landscaped, and that piece will, the landscaping will be in conjunction with that piece.
Right.
And usually, you know, sometimes, I mean, the worst part of public art is what this. Finally called in the industry, plop art. Mm-hmm. That's when the art comes in after. You know, after everything's done, after the plaza's been done, after everything has been even landscaped,
right.
Then they plop some piece of art down. Good public art starts in the very beginning when everybody's thinking and everyone gets a chance to really talk to each other and to. Unfortunately, public art is art by committee, but hopefully you have an intelligent committee, you know, of good people that want the best for the area and that are fairly sophisticated. And public art is also a big piece of education. You know, it's bringing people along that first say.
This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM, Indie Radio, radio for the rest of us.
Some people will just say, well, what is it? That they will not be able to know what it is right away. Okay. For those people, they should walk across the street, go up those steps, and walk into the lobby of the Main Street Station and look at three beautiful paintings by Steve Fox. They will know what it is. They're gorgeous atmospheric paintings, and they are just knockouts. And for other people that don't know what it is, if they stay a little bit longer and let their imagination play, they may be able to see all kinds of things. It isn't representational. It is suggestive. It's there to open up your imagination. And let me tell you how brilliant it is. Let me say one last thing that's absolutely brilliant. We did have guests on. If had we had any other piece that was not suspended from I-95, we would have lost it.
Right.
We would have lost $250,000. But this is a brilliant piece.
But Hopewell would have been happy.
Right, really.
Oh, George, look. We have a John Newman in our backyard.
It was very interesting how John...
Shoot it, Bertha.
let me also add a little bit about John's thinking about this. When John came down, are we good on time? Are we all right?
Yeah, we're fine. Let me just take a little quick break here before we get rolling too far. Again, this is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us, and we're talking with Sally Bowring. And if that name rings a bell, it's because my name is Tim Bowring, and she's my wife, and she's also a very accomplished artist and has been for the last, 5 years? The public arts coordinator for the city of Richmond. Go ahead.
When John came down, and actually when Sam Gilliam, I was saying before about Sam Gilliam, when any of the finalists came down, they looked at the area and went, are you kidding? I mean, the area across the street from Main Street Station.
Oh, so you said to them, you got to do it here.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. When
okay.
This was a very specific, the site selection team had made suggestions to the artists that it could be either there. It could have been inside the Main Street Station as well, and we left it to the artists. We said it could be here or it could be inside, and six of the finalists came in and did full proposals. When John came down, he said, "Can you give me a tour of Richmond?" And he's also a good friend of Liz King's, who's a local and national and international famous artist, who I'm sure will be.
Liz King, national, internationally known artist.
and a wonderful teacher at VCU.
Right.
And excellent sculptor. Anyhow, so
but not a friend of ours. no sirree, Bob.
But Liz took John on a tour around Richmond, and he first kind of got interested in the pedestals of the monuments on Monument Avenue. And then he looked at, and then Liz took him over to Browns Island, and he saw the suspended bridge. And that really, really interested him. And he went across the suspended bridge, and that's what really kind of opened up his imagination to have something suspended. So That's kind of the history of the beginning of the creativity of that piece. And it's called Skywriter. It's a
pun. So what's the difference between Skywriter, the policeman's head, and Fish, which was, I think probably most people out there remember, that there was this fad for a while, and you'd mentioned Chicago, and in Chicago I think they actually had cows. And what they did was they gave these, you know, plexiglass or, you know, whatever, fiberglass cows or whatever to artists and said, do what you will. And they did the same thing in Richmond, and most people painted them, some of them cut them up, you know, some whatever. And as you know, people donated money to have this done, and they were all over the place, and it created quite a stir. What was your take on that?
I think that Fish was a great public community project, art project. I think a place like the Arts Council or the city should have done it. Mm-hmm. Because it was a very broad, broad-based community project. I think it was excellent for people to, if they had to get their toes wet with art. Mm-hmm. I don't personally think it was art. I think it was more about decoration.
Yeah.
Because of the continuous nature of this mold that was,
right.
Yeah, and very few people cut it up. Actually, the city got their public art Fish. Mm-hmm. We participated, and we got Jeff Major, who was the artist that did our Fish, and he was one of the few that did cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't decorated with rhinestones and everything else. It was very, very sculptural, and it sat at City Hall. And a lot of people said, what is this?
Is it public art?
It is art in the public. I think public art, I'll qualify it differently. I think good public art is very specific to the site. Okay, that's one of the qualifications, I think, of good public art. Sometimes it reiterates the history.
I was kind of wondering why they didn't use a tobacco leaf for Richmond, you know.
Well, you know, actually the idea of the Fish was good because it was the Rockfish returning to the James.
I guess. I missed that one, though.
Actually,
I guess shed planking. Maybe they should have done shed row, you know. Here, take this shed row and paint it and put rhinestones
on it. Actually, a good friend of ours suggested it to be Fish. I thought it was a good idea.
The Fish?
Yeah. But
or a cigarette, maybe.
Also the inclusion of people that weren't artists changed the nature of the art project. Okay, it went to schools, it went to art art centers, which was fine. It was a public art project. You know, and had they just been specific, like many years ago, the Arts Council, going back well into the early 80s, created billboards. And it was a great public art project again, but it was only artists that got the billboards. More recently, Lorna Wyckoff, when she had 64 Magazine, created the bus cards on the buses and billboards. And that, again, it only went to artists. And so it was really putting art into the public, and that makes it, in the moment, it's jolting. Because art really is different than advertising, even though art can look like advertising.
Right.
There was a gigantic billboard going down 64 of Joan Gausted's, when Joan Gausted's Babies. Mm-hmm. That was really wonderful.
It was on 64.
It was on 64. No, the baby wasn't going down
64. Is that public art?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It could be temporary.
It has to do with the accomplishment, the status, not the status, but the skills and the abilities of the person. One is art done by the public, and the other is art for the public.
Yes, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah,
a lot of those were done by artists.
A lot of them were done by artists, and the better ones were done by artists for sure.
This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM, Indie Radio for the rest of us.
You know, I mean, so again, art can be a destination. And it was kind of fun that night that we
So is it fair to say there are various different types of public art?
Absolutely. As there are various different kinds of art. And there's room for everybody. Okay. I mean, there really is. I really believe that there's room for everyone. But there, I think that they can be qualified differently, though. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It just seems that people got more excited about the fish. That it got more attention than, for instance, the, you know, police head or the... Or John's piece, even those two are, from an art perspective, much, much more sophisticated and require much, much more training, background, and professionalism to produce.
I think one is, I was a member of 728 for years and years and years, and if local people had shows at 728, you had a huge opening, not like what it is now. I mean, first Fridays are just out of sight. I mean, they're just really just gigantic. But, you know, we were the kid on the block that had great openings. I think we gave away free wine at the time also. Yeah. But it was a local person and you knew them and you showed up for Richard Carline or you showed up for Diana Denimore, you showed up, whoever it was, you just showed up. And if we brought in someone from out of town, 20 faithfuls would show up. You know, our membership would show up. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know who Joe Blow was, and they weren't too interested. Now it's different. I mean, it's different because it's a whole different... You know, Richmond has... I've been here, since 1980? Mm-hmm. I mean, Richmond has grown up, and we've had this conversation over dinner many times about how much it's changed and it's grown up and that the art has really... taken a very prominent place. I mean, people line up to go to openings now. I mean, people have to line up in front of galleries because it's too crowded. God bless them. And they stay strong. That's great.
Well, it is interesting that you go downtown on First Fridays now, and it literally is another city. I mean, it is wall-to-wall people, if you haven't been down there. It is one interesting, exciting show after another, usually. Some of them are duds, but a lot of them are interesting. It is really happening in downtown Richmond, and you and I have been watching this develop slowly over the last 30 years, and in the last 3 years, you know, the lid has blown off just at the time that our mayor has decided that there is really no need for a downtown cultural arts center. Timing, baby. It's all timing. Yeah. Well, I know. We got to talk to WRIR, folks. This show has to be 5 hours long. But unfortunately, right now, it's a half an hour long. So we got to wrap it up. I want to thank my wife, Sally, for taking time out to make me dinner, to come in here. Just kidding. And share some of her perspectives about public art and to eat the mints that I have here on the table at Plant Zero Cafe. And I want to thank you folks for tuning in to Zero Hour. It's sort of Zoom by. We should call it Zoom Hour or Zero Half Hour. I hope you've enjoyed our lunch together. I look forward to seeing you on the radio every first and third Monday of the month at 12:30. Again, this is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM. Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.